This morning's reading is taken from Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 16 to 36. This can be found on the Church Bibles on page 868. If you wish to have a Bible, please indicate and some people will start bringing them round for you. Ezekiel chapter 36, starting at verse 16. Israel's restoration assured. Again the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, when the people of Israel were living in their own land, they defiled it by their conduct and their actions. Their conduct was like a woman's monthly uncleanness in my sight. So I poured out my wrath on them, because they had shed blood in the land, and because they had defiled it with their idols. I dispersed them among the nations, and they were scattered through the countries. I judged them according to their conduct and their actions. And wherever they went among the nations, they profaned my holy name. For it was said of them, "These are the Lord's people," and yet they had to leave his land. I had concern for my holy name, which the people of Israel profaned among the nations where they had gone. Therefore, say to the Israelites, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, people of Israel, that I am going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name that you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Sovereign Lord, when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. For I will take you out of the nations, I will gather you from all the countries, and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God. I will save you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and make it plentiful, and will not bring famine upon you. I will increase the fruit of the trees and the crops of the field, so that you will no longer suffer disgrace among the nations because of famine. Then you will remember your evil ways and wicked deeds, and you will loathe yourselves for your sins and detestable practices. I want you to know that I am not doing this for your sake, declares the Sovereign Lord. Be ashamed and disgraced of your conduct, people of Israel. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. On the day I cleanse you from all your sins, I will resettle your towns, and the ruins will be rebuilt. The desolate land will be cultivated instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass through it. They will say, this land that was laid waste has become like the Garden of Eden. The cities that were lying in ruins, desolate and destroyed, are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations around you that remain will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt what was destroyed and have replanted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's just pray for Jill as she comes to speak to us now. Lord, we thank you for Jill. We thank you for her preparation this week. We pray that you would use her to speak to us through the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, would you give us ears to hear and soft flesh hearts that we may hear your voice and respond to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I don't know whether any of you are feeling a little bit on the chilled side this morning. It's because the heaters aren't working. So as you sit, you get colder. So there will be opportunity for ministry time to stand up and be energetic. All right, at the end. When I was given my flowers this morning, I was actually taken back to my childhood. I lived on a farm in a large country estate. And every year, on the first weekend in April, they opened up the estate for people to come and see the daffodils. And it was a great family time for us. And so this is a great reminder to me today about my own family and all that they have given for me as well. I just want to move those out of the way, just in case I do anything silly, which is possible at any time. Well, some of you know who I am. I'm Jill. I joined the clergy team last November as an ordained local minister. And I'm a self-supporting minister, which means I have to earn my own income. So last year, I reopened my business. I started it in 2008, and I knew that it needed a bit of revitalizing. And so I met with two great guys, Mark Orris and Ralph Mann, and what they did was that they made me talk, which wasn't over difficult. And part of that talking was to draw out from me what was really in my heart for the business. They wanted to rebrand it in a way that actually works for me going forwards. Out of that rebranding came lots and lots of pictures. They're great at drawing what I'm saying, and I love visuals. And I'm hoping that this may not show up very well, though it doesn't at all, because of the light. That's fine, we'll just go with what it says on there. Out of the talking, one of the things that became really important was about the heart. The heart, because for me, one of the key factors for me is I want to be part of the heartbeat of an organization. I love to see how the heart is beating in people, how it aligns to people, how important it is for that heartbeat to be working. And one of the things they wrote down in that picture, which you can't see, is it says the heart matters, both the outworking of the heart and the inner working of the heart. And I felt today that what God wanted to say to us is, the matters of the heart matter to God. The matters of the hearts of each of you here matters to God. The matters of the heart of Christ Church matter to God. It matters so much that this is the second time that this passage has been used in Christ Church in the last 3 months. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. On January the 16th, Roberto, our senior pastor, was led to preach on this. And on the same day, Jackie, despite her back pain, felt compelled to come to the gathering because God had given her the same words. These were the words that God spoke through his prophet Ezekiel to his people in Israel 2,500 years ago. They are our Heavenly Father's words for us today. And are we listening? Are we really listening so that we engage our hearts and minds and let the Spirit move in us so that we are willing to go away changed? Or prepared to change. It says in verse 27, I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Jesus, after his death and resurrection, gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is within us. And it fulfills the prophecy of Ezekiel. I just want us to stop I just want to invite the Spirit to be here with us at this moment in time. So let us pray. Holy Spirit, come. We welcome you here. We thank you for the gift of the Spirit that dwells within us, that stirs us, that awakens us. We thank you that you move within us. Holy Spirit, come. Come and lead us today. Come and reveal to us all that is on your heart for us. For we long for you to touch us, to speak to us today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Where I want to focus today is really just on those verses. I will cleanse you from all impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I want to do this today in three ways. Firstly, God restores. He removes the heart of stone. Secondly, God reignites. He gives a heart of flesh. And thirdly, God refocuses. He turns our hearts towards others. So let's start with God restores. In Ezekiel 36, we have moved into the next section about the prophecies related to God's restoration of his people. The reason? To show his holiness of his name. This follows on from Janet's talk last week about the promise of God's people of an undivided heart. In the opening verses of today, we hear God revisiting the deeds of the Israelites. He uses strong language. They defiled their land by their conduct and their actions, verse 16. They shed blood, verse 18. They profaned my holy name, verse 20. God recognizes that through their hearts of stone, the conduct and actions of his people have shown disrespect and irreverence for his holy name. Those who are not believers have witnessed this disrespect and irreverence. This is a message God repeats again through Jeremiah, the prophet, in chapter 17, verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. But God, out of his love for us and for his people at the time of Ezekiel, wants restoration. He wants to soften hardened hearts. And he will do this through the cleansing of by water and the Spirit. But that does require us to stop and let the Spirit examine our attitudes, our idols, our behaviors, our thoughts, our deeds, in our relationship and in our lives, and to see where a change of heart is required. What inner spiritual change is necessary, because the heart is the eye to the mind, the soul, and the spirit. This is definitely not going to show up. This is another heart picture, and it shows a heart shifting. It requires us to shift our hearts. When Roberto spoke in January, he gave several examples about how to carry out a health check to see where we have allowed hardness in our hearts. Let me just repeat those for you. Are you nurturing roots of bitterness? Is there any unresolved conflict or disagreement in your relationships, whether in the family, friends, colleagues, brothers and sisters in Christ? When offended, do you respond with criticism or harbor negative thoughts? Do you have idols in your life, your role at work or your status in material goods? Do you have a need to be busy, distracting you from your focus on Jesus? Your focus away from time in worship, prayer, or reading his word? Are you, perhaps, refusing to acknowledge and follow Jesus in a calling that he has given you to serve him? Is there someone you need to forgive? Repentance of our sins and forgiveness are essential for breaking hearts of stone, even when we think we have hearts of flesh. Several years ago, I was in a meeting. And one of the people in the meeting, I'm going to give him the name of Edward today, came with an idea. He is an incredibly persuasive person, able to really give a good message, a passionate advocate for what he believes. Yet at that meeting, he presented an idea that would remove someone from my team. Anybody who knows me, team matters. You can imagine my emotional response. But God has been working in me over many years not to be defensive or not to be offended. But it doesn't stop me from being emotional in that particular moment. And I know that one of the things that I have been taught is to stop and ask a question. Because then I am not criticizing or offending. And I asked a question and conversation happened. And the outcome of that was the person chairing the meeting put it to one side for it to be investigated further. But I needed to deal with the situation, and I went and met with Edward afterwards just to ask a simple question: what stopped you from coming and speaking with me beforehand? We could have had a conversation. I knew I could not continue forward without going through forgiveness. And I took time that day to forgive for what had happened. But the emotion didn't leave my heart. And I knew that I hadn't got to the root of the problem. I knew I had to stop yet again and ask God what was really going on for me. And when I took that time, I got to the root. I had felt devalued in front of my colleagues. That's pretty painful to realize that I was putting my value in my colleagues and how they perceived me, not in how God saw me. So I went into another time of repentance before God, into a time of rebuking the evil one. A time where I turned around and claimed the truth of who I am. I am loved and valued by Jesus. I am his precious daughter. When I went to that place of choosing to forgive Edward and naming the hurts that I had identified, two things happened. The first was an incredible sense of peace. The second was I knew my attitude had changed. I could see Edward through the eyes of Jesus and love him for who he was. My heart of stone was softened. When asked by Peter how many times we should forgive, Jesus answered, not 7 times, but 77 times. We may have hearts of stones within us in parts of our lives, but God, through his Spirit moving in us, will bring a way to restoration and reconciliation. So many times in this passage it says, I will, God will. I will cleanse, soften, restore, provide, direct through his Spirit and his word. The question is, are we willing for his Spirit to work within us individually and collectively as a family to remove our hearts of stone and melt them into hearts of flesh? Are we open and willing to pursue Jesus and let his spirit bring the changes that he wants in our hearts today? We will have a chance at the end to come and bring that before him. God wants softened hearts. So the second part is God reignites our hearts so it overflows into wherever we are. He wants to soften our hearts. He wants to give us hearts of flesh, as he says in verse 23. Because the nations will know that I am Lord when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. These personal changes of your heart go beyond just changing you. They overflow into all your relationships, in all that you do. They overflow into our lives together as a family of believers at Christ Church. They overflow because our hearts are ignited with the love of Jesus. In 2014, a small group of us met to look at evangelism and mission. And one of the pictures that God gave us at that particular time was this one. God saw the hearts of his people at Christchurch on fire, a fire that ignites passion in their hearts. This is a heart of flesh that Ezekiel describes. How do we get passionate hearts about Jesus? It's about intentionally pursuing his presence during our personal times with Jesus and our times together as a family. It goes into the heart of our spiritual rhythms and disciplines that Ezekiel spoke of in verse 27. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. People who know me, I love visuals. So I'm going to use an example here. And I'm going to actually ask John. I did this the other night. And I was told afterwards, have somebody to help you because all the plates were shaking. So I've got some help today. So I'm going to give you a visual. I'll pass them to you at a time. Okay. This is my helper. We haven't practiced this, okay? This is my helper. So in 2009, I met an amazing man of God, Chuck Miller. He has been a mentor for me over many years when I was traveling in Open Doors. He died recently. And he had a vision when he was ill and had this metaphor that came. The first part of it is a jug that represents that God and all he longs to pour into us. The second part is a cup. This is the cup of my uniqueness or your uniqueness. It's a distinctive of who I am. It is who God's created me to be. And he longs for me to be changed from within. He longs to spend time with me. So I overflow with his grace and his character. This is the saucer. This represents our relationships, the people we come into contact on an everyday basis, whether it's the one in the queue in the supermarket, the person on the bus, or our everyday relationships. And this is the plate. This is the events, the things that happen, the activities in our lives. Very often, we have time, we go to our workplaces, we go out into our communities, and we do what we do well. We take the events and say, we've got this happening today. I'll pray for it. And we stop ourselves from receiving from the Lord because we put the busyness and the events of our lives before our time with our Savior. So I'll put it together now. So the picture is of this. This is the Father, our Heavenly Father, who longs to pour into our lives. He longs for us to take the time to abide in his presence, to abide in his word, to abide in prayer for ourselves, to abide in prayer for others, to seek his wisdom, to understand what he wants for the events of the day. When we take that time for him to pour into us, it overflows into our relationships. It overflows into the events that we are engaged with. And I don't know whether you can see, it's probably not very easy to see, but it's just beginning to overflow from the saucer into the plate. Thank you. The critical part of all of this is that when we have Christ in us, it overflows and it flows out into all that we do. The church goes out. It overflows into every part of our lives. It overflows, as this picture shows us. It sends us outwards. It overflows as a church family by being a generous and welcoming community where the presence of God is so real and tangible that those who visit receive from us out of that overflow. A soft, passionate heart overflows to see his kingdom come in our parish and communities where he has placed us, in our city and beyond. What would happen if we overflow, church goes out into our parish? Janet gave us some statistics earlier this year. 8,900 people live in this parish, and it says 44% of them are Christian. If my maths are right, and I've got Tim sitting on my left, so I'm bound to get it checked. If my maths is right and 44%, that means our Sunday attendance would be 3,916. Do you see 3,916 people here? That's the Christians. What about the other 5,000 who are not Christians? If we overflow into our parish, what a harvest field. And the third part of our talk today is God renews hearts so they are compassionate. God's compassionate heart in Ezekiel sees in verse 33 to 37. He sees the desolate lands, the ruined and uninhabited towns. He sees from that compassion that he will rebuild, resettle and cultivate them because he has heard their plea. Jesus, when he landed in Matthew 14, saw a large crowd and had compassion on them and healed those who were ill. His heart was stirred from within. A softened heart is not a self-centered heart, but sees the needs of others around them. Today, as you came in, you were given a picture that has been up there for a long while, a picture painted by Malcolm Bourne, and I'd like you to have it out in front of you. This picture is entitled The Great Commission. Malcolm painted it in 2013 from a vision he had been given many years earlier. It has its symbolic image of God the Father sat in the lifeguard chair, ushering his angels. The Son as the lifeguard on the water, being an example to others. The Holy Spirit as the helicopter, hovering over the water and lighting the way. The lifeboats depict the church to bring people to safety. If you want to know more about it, speak to Malcolm. In 2014, I was really struck by this picture. Our heart response, a compassionate response to those who are lost, who don't know Jesus. When you look at this picture with the eyes of Jesus, what do you see? Where is your heart stirring?
There are lives to be saved. Some are drowning by the pressures of life. Some are isolated, people who are alone and feeling unloved and unsupported. Some have been rescued, but they still need loving care and support. Each of our responses are different, just as they are in that picture. Some people dive in a rescue, always ready to get going. Some stand and direct. Some watch, not quite knowing what to do. You see, each of us will see something different in that picture, related to where we are, perhaps in our own lives. But the point behind the picture is there are many lost and lonely, homeless and suffering, disadvantaged people, wealthy in worldly terms, but maybe poor in spirit, who do not know Jesus. We have them in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in our families and our friends. Is there, through the words of Ezekiel today and the prompting of the Spirit, a shift or a further softening of our hearts with a compassion for the needs beyond Christchurch, to take the church out into our communities? And as I finish, I go back to the passage, particularly in verse 37, and wonder what it would look like if I changed the words. I will yield to the family of Christchurch's plea to rebuild and replant, and I will make their people as numerous as sheep, as numerous as flocks of sheep, so the communities in which they live and work, the parish, the city of Bristol, will know that I am Lord. The matters of the heart matter to God. They matter so much that he wants to remove our hearts of stone and give us a heart of flesh. He wants to put a new spirit in us. Are we willing? I have hopefully taken some time today to create space for ministry time. I don't know whether you felt the heartfelt plea of the Christ today for this. For some of you, you may just want to come forward and receive a refreshment of the Spirit in your lives. For some of you, you might just want us to lay hands on you to ask for a blessing on all that you're doing. Some of you might want more by putting your hand out and saying, Lord, I want more. I want more of your compassionate heart. Some of you, you may have memories stirred where you know there is unforgiveness in your hearts. Some of you may have a response to the picture. There may be people who don't know yet Jesus yet. We welcome you forward to invite you to know Jesus. Whatever the Spirit is stirring in you, please respond today, because that's what our Heavenly Father wants. If the band can come forwards. Can I ask you now, we have prayer ministry team here, to stand and come forwards if you want to respond in any way to any part of the talk today that the Spirit's moving with you. You may want to stand where you are. A couple of weeks ago when we had Mark Eldridge, some people just stood where they were, and we came to pray for you. That might be the way that you want to respond. But let's take the opportunity to respond for his leading today. Do stand.